Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew, and guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back, Sheriff Mark Kreider, all the way from Walla Walla County in Washington State. So thanks for being back on the show, Sheriff. We've also got Captain Brett Bartlett, the founder of Exumber Defense Solutions at exumberdefense.com, and he wanted me to say something. 32 years of exemplary law enforcement experience. And then we've got our bad dude on the show, man. This guy is it's kind of like having Scott Steyer, you know, Green Beret Delta Force. We have our own Dan Dela Cruz. Yeah, he's the guy that put the glove on me when I was at SHOT Show, made me scream like a little girl. So anyhow, welcome to the show. He's with Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor. So thanks for being back on the show, Dan. And we've got some great topics. But first, our sponsors, guys, our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com. And Dan's company, Compliant Technologies, our satellite sponsor at ComplianTechnologies.com. We have GunLearn.com. We have MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com. Thanks to them, we're streaming to over 1 million followers right now on social media during the live show. And finally, TubeBells.com. They built their new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Go to our website. You can get cool shirts or cool gear. I got a picture of the new coffee mug. This is not the new one, but the new one is bigger and better, and it's got a logo on both sides. So whether you're left or right-handed, whatever hand you hold the mug in, the logo is going to show. It's they're now available, and I've got one being sent to me right now. So thanks to the sponsors. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press for carrying their content, and Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and finally Travis Jates with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now here is what we're going to be talking about today. We have phone company executives reveal why they complied with the Jack Smith's secret subpoenas. Man, I wanted to know. And then we've got, this is Florida, not Minnesota. So the Jacksonville mayor is in a legal hotspot after undermining ICE. And you will get to hear about that. You know, the article never said her name. I had to look it up to find out who was the mayor of Jacksonville. And then legal immigrant restaurant owner, and I love this. It makes me want to go to Arizona. The owner of this restaurant triggers the libs. That alone makes me want to go. But then it gets better. He's giving free meals to ICE agents. Incredible. And then we've got Massachusetts State Police. There's a recruit death, unfortunately, but it leads to the indictments of the academy staff. There's a pucker factor. Then Phoenix police officers fatally shoot an unarmed man, later identified or determined to be the wrong suspect. I found that video very confusing. And then Tashawn Rogers fired a shot at a plainclothes police officers before being fatally shot by the officers. And then drone technology. I put this one in for Brett. Drone technology helps Staunton police catch the serial defector. That's not defector. It's defecator. The serial defecator using the park as a public bathroom. Wow. All right, Brett, that's for you. I expect some expert testimony on that one, Brett. Also, let's see what we've got. We've got another one here. It is, finally, a fallen officers fatally shoot a knife-wounding suspect after two people end up being stabbed. And NYPD body cam video shows a cop shooting a mentally ill Queens man who ends up charging him with a knife. So there you go. So if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and start this thing off with one of our first of three main topics, dailycaller.com. Yeah, I got an alert. I guess it was the Daily Mail. I get an alert on my cell phone. The Daily Wire I subscribed to, what, a year or two ago, I just had $430-some on my debit card charge, so I took care of that, Brett. Don't worry. But phone company executives reveal why they complied with Jack Smith's secret subpoenas. I wanted to know, too. Now we're going to know. Three phone company executives, they testified on Tuesday about why they supplied Republican members of Congress's records. So they didn't give it to the Republicans. They complied with Biden's DOJ. And this is in response to the former special counsel Jack Smith's secret subpoenas. I say secret because the members of Congress said he was getting information on. He didn't want them finding out about it. The companies received at least 84 subpoenas, if you can believe that, during the Arctic Frost probe. That was Jack Smith's case against President Donald Trump, including at least 10 associated with 20 current or former Republican members, according to the Senate Judiciary Chair Chuck Grassley. And here's a quote saying that we have put new processes in place to increase transparency to members whose information is sought by law enforcement. And that's Chris Miller, Senior Vice President and General Counsel of Verizon. That's what he told the committee. We have been working closely with Congress and the administration for the past few months to address the important issues raised by the committee's inquiry. And then Smith subpoena sought all, well, they sold toll records, which includes logs of messages and calls, their duration, and the number contacted. Now, it says it did not seek the actual content of the communications, although it says that they included the logs of the messages. But you better believe that if they got the right hits, they would have asked for the messages too. It goes on to say the companies do not always know that the requested accounts belong to members of Congress. When subpoena analysts receive a valid legal demand, they say that they were not trained to do an inquiry into the associated subscribers. So they didn't vet the information, according to Miller. Now, here's the interesting thing. I'm going to find out what I have AT&T, and I actually have AT&T FirstNet. Verizon and T-Mobile, they both complied with the subpoenas, and AT&T, my company, questioned a subpoena for Republican Texas Senator Ted Cruz's records. AT&T did produce the records, though, for former Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, though. And it goes on to say that after responding to several, they, meaning AT&T, their legal center, they actually reached out to lawyers to discuss what was becoming a series of requests. And that's according to David McAtee, with senior executive with AT&T. And Cruz's account was easier to identify because they were using his campaign account, not his personal one. It's just scary. And then our database of customers is over 2,000 Kevin McCarthy, so they didn't immediately know that it was him. In response to the request for Cruz's records, a lawyer asked Smith's team if a subpoena would implicate constitutional protections, and the company did not receive a response. Gee, I wonder why. And then before greenlighting the subpoenas, former head of the Department of Justice's Public Integrity Section, John Keller, warned prosecutors that there may be some litigation risk involving all this stuff. It goes on and on, but you guys get the general idea. And these companies were 84 subpoenas. So they were just being overwhelmed with subpoenas. Let me just throw this last one out, because Senator Lindsey Graham weighed in saying, you failed me. You failed to honor the contract protecting all of us. And he was pointing that out about Verizon. And then we've got Senator Marsha Blackburn, House Judiciary Committee, and asking people their flight risks, and Senator Dick Durbin. It goes on and on and on. Guys, who wants to weigh in on this first? We got about 4.5 minutes before we take our first commercial break. Sheriff Mark Kreider.
Since I've served a lot of these during my career as an FBI agent, I have a little bit different take on this. I was a little bit appalled that the congressmen were yelling and screaming because they're congressmen, they're immune from legal process. This was legal process. What I would be more concerned about as an American citizen is I would like to read the probable cause for why these were issued, and I would like to go back to the judge and find out why these were issued. I served tons of subpoenas in which we asked for a 60, 90, 120-day non-disclosure because of the sensitive nature of the investigation. That's not unusual. But what is the probable cause that you're subpoenaing these phone records for, and what judge signed off on it? Because if it states in the probable cause statement that they're a flight risk, you have to name the individual, and I don't know how you justify a congressman as a flight risk. That's absurd. So more concerning to me is the judicial review on these legal processes that are done every single day across the United States in bona fide investigations done by the feds. So that's what should be concerning to the American citizens.
Agreed. All right, Brett.
I absolutely agree. I was reading that article and I thought, why are these people mad at the phone? They're just responding to what appeared to be a legal subpoena issue, you know, signed off by a judge and done the right way. If I were Verizon, I'd stand up at here and go, don't yell at us. Yell at that knucklehead judge or that knucklehead prosecutor. We're just, you know, we have no ability to parse through a subpoena and go, well, this looks suspicious. Just do your job. And then start yelling at the prosecutor who just did it for spite.
Yeah. Good, all good points, guys. Well, if you guys are ready, we'll hit our next one. Then we'll watch this in case there's any more. You know, this Arctic Frost has not gone away yet. This next one here is a main. It's our second of three main stories. RVMnews.com. This is Florida, not Minnesota. Jacksonville mayor in legal hot water after undermining ICE. Now, I still don't know why they never mentioned her name in the article. And I'll get to that in a second. But that I found that intriguing. Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer said that his office is reviewing whether a Jacksonville city official unlawfully interfered with federal immigration enforcement after allegedly alerting the public to the locations that ICE was doing operations at. The comments come amid allegations that information about ICE activity was publicly shared, potentially disrupting law enforcement efforts. Now, the city's mayor, she's denied any wrongdoing actually happened, but our AG in Florida said the matter raises serious concerns under Florida law. And here's a quote saying that we have a situation here where a city official was out there publicly alerting people to ICE locations, interfering with immigration enforcement efforts. I can see why that would be something to be concerned about. Uthmeyer, he emphasized that Florida law requires cooperation, requires it. And this is with federal law enforcement. It does not give local officials the ability they have discretion to undermine immigration enforcement or decide whether they want to adhere to the law. And finally, he says, and this is beautiful, this is the state of Florida. It is not Minnesota. Now, while the mayor of Jacksonville, and I'm showing Mayor Donna Deegan as the mayor, has stated that no laws were violated, our AG said that state officials disagree with that assessment and they're evaluating whether there needs to be further action taken against her. He indicated that the review will focus on whether the conduct involved coordination beyond a single individual, so whether she was coordinating with other officials that work for the city or other employees. Now, look, we got a commercial break sticking up on us, guys. So, look, stick with us. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Gall's, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County in Washington State, Captain Brett Bartlett from the Tampa Police Department, and also Dan Dela Cruz from Compliant Technologies with the Glove. We just got done talking about the Jacksonville mayor in Florida that's being accused of interfering with ICE operations by disclosing the location of the operations that are going on through the federal agency. And I know the Florida Attorney General Uthmeyer is not happy about that. Commentary on that, Dan Dela Cruz.
Yeah, I would just think at this point with everything that's gone on recently that these officials, these state officials, government officials that are there for the people would realize that they're putting people in harm's way. I mean, it's just become an obvious, no matter what their beliefs are, no matter what they're thinking, why go out of your way to put somebody in harm's way? None of these things are ending well or going well. It just seems I would hold them highly responsible for that. That they're advocating putting people in harm's way. It's just crazy.
Online says that she's a Democratic mayor. I don't know that that's any surprise or shock, but I will tell you one thing with ICE operations. I'm hoping that sooner than later we see them using the glove, because that's an easy one. Every ICE officer, Border Patrol guy that's going hands on should have that tool. Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd love to see that, Chip, because the newspaper accounts would say a crowd of 30 people threw themselves to the ground when touched by the ICE off. It's a minor miracle. They threw themselves to the ground or launched themselves through the car window. Well, I tell you, Chip, this whole opposing ICE by these elected officials is not going to change until one of them gets cuffs put on them and put in jail. Now, I don't know what the federal statute is for that, but in Florida, it would be opposing a police officer. You're opposing my lawful authority by doing or taking some action to stop me. One of them needs to go to jail.
I'm waiting for that to happen, and I'm with you. And you know what? I still have an old pair of handcuffs that I will volunteer to donate as long as they're used on the first wrist that get arrested for that. Sheriff Kreider.
Well, I live in the Socialist Republic of Washington State, and I can tell you that if you look at this from an outside perspective, the whole thing is set up to sow chaos. In Washington, we have the Keep Washington Working Act, which basically prohibits local law enforcement from cooperating or assisting or whatever you want to call it with ICE. So instead of the safe and secure transfer of prisoners inside the county jails, we are now forcing our federal counterparts to go out into the neighborhoods and conduct these arrests out in the public, which all four of us know it's much safer to do that in a jail. Number one, you're only getting the people that are here illegally and have committed a state crime as well, because we don't put illegal immigrants in county jails for immigration violations. We put them in jail for violations of state law. So if you would allow immigration into the jails, you would get the people that we're really after, and you would have no chaos because nobody can protest in there. It's safer for the officers. It's safer for the suspects. It's safer for the community. So you have to step back and look at this and think, these public officials want the chaos that we're seeing on the streets of Minneapolis to happen. And that's just evil.
You know, did you see, I know yesterday we covered that one of the sheriff, I think it was in, you know, St. Paul, Minneapolis, they're right next to each other, but the sheriff in the St. Paul area actually sent his deputies in to grab, I think it was like around 42 protesters that were protesting against a federal building. So not local, not state, a federal building. The sheriff goes in and he takes care of business. But, you know, Tom Holman had just gone on in the last week or so when he said that he made a deal with Tim Walz and Jacob Frey, the governor and the mayor, respectively, even though they were denying that they cut a deal with Tom Holman. Tom Holman said, yeah, I've got sheriffs now and local that are letting us into the jails to grab people. And that's why we're pulling 600 agents out, leaving 2,000 in. And it's just a beautiful thing. And I have to believe that this sheriff is liking that new relationship. And he said, I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to go and I'm going to protect that federal building. I mean, I love it. The governor must be pulling his hair out right now. No offense, Brett.
Yeah. Well, speaking of offense, I think the sheriff was right. The ICE issue, the immigration issue is not important to the opposition. It's simply a convenient point of, and if it could have been anything
right,
else.
Your audio is not good enough. Topic, so we're going to go to the next main story anyhow. So our main three here, rvmnews.com, legal immigrant, restaurant owner triggers libs by giving free meals to ICE agents. So a restaurant owner in South Arizona is drawing national attention after announcing that Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, or ICE, and other federal law enforcement officers will receive free meals at his business. Now, George Rivas, he's the owner of Sammy's Mexican Grill in Catalina, Arizona, and he's offering the meals as a gesture of respect and support for law enforcement. So you got to love that. So Rivas, he's a Salvadorian immigrant. He came to the United States legally. And his decision is rooted in his belief in the rule of law and appreciation for those that are tasked with enforcing it. Now, the announcement gained widespread attention after Rivas made the offer, and this was done during an interview that was later translated into English, but it circulated on social media. And it went viral, and now there's all kinds of reactions all over the political spectrum. And Rivas said that everyone who works for ICE, all federal agents, not just ICE, but all federal agents, can come to Sammy's Mexican Grill. Here, they will be treated with respect and as they deserve. Wow. And he emphasized that the support extends to all federal enforcement officers, not just ICE, like I said earlier. He said his background as a legal immigrant, it shaped his perspective and motivated him to publicly support immigration enforcement. And you got to love that. He says, I know firsthand what it means to come here the right way. The public response to his announcement has been mixed. Some critics on social media, they're calling for a boycott, of course, of the restaurant. And Rivas addressed the backlash by accusing critics of some stuff. We're going to cover that in a second, guys. I got another commercial break sneaking up on us, so stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. They're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries, and you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. And I said tens of thousands of times. I actually think they're up to over 250,000 deployments with no injuries or deaths. I mean, that's just simply amazing. So when it comes to safety, you can trust the Glove at Compliant Technologies, and they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And we're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider, former FBI. And we had two other panelists that are no longer with us for the second half of the show. And so Sheriff Kreider is going to carry the weight of the rest of the show for us. We left off talking about our third main story. It's a beautiful one, though. Legal immigrant restaurant. This owner is triggering libs by giving away free meals to ICE agents. And, you know, they just must be beside themselves. And so our immigrant, his name is George Rivas. He's a Salvadoran immigrant. Came over here illegally, and it's just killing him that people are coming over here illegally, and he supports ICE and get rid of them. He emphasized that his support extends to all federal officers, and he's offered them free meals at his restaurant, and he's going to treat them with respect. And I don't want to just throw that in there. Right? Let me say, everyone who works for ICE, all federal agents can come to Sammy's Mexican Grill. They'll be treated with respect as they deserve. So, okay, I said free meals, and maybe it was just with respect, but I thought I'd read that somewhere else. And he says he knows firsthand to come here the right way and not to, you know, skip ahead of the line illegally. The public response, he's been getting mixed, but some people want to call for boycotts. And then we've got other people that want to pledge their support, and they didn't want to go to his restaurant just because of him and the way he's supporting ICE. He addressed the backlash by accusing critics of suffering from Trump derangement syndrome. And he said, at the same time, the restaurant has received support from customers planning to visit Sammy's Mexican Grill. Remember that name specifically because of a stance. So there you go, guys. Sammy's Mexican Grill in Arizona. Support that guy. Sheriff, I know you're over in Washington State, but it almost makes me want to make the drive to Arizona.
Yeah. You know, it's ridiculous that we're sowing. I'm sure in your career, you spent a lot of time trying to build relationships with other agencies, especially federal agencies, because they can bring a lot of resources to bear, as we're seeing in the Guthrie kidnapping. The feds can come in and they have tons of resources, especially for small communities like mine. And these policies and laws that are being passed in some of the Democratic states that are driving wedges between state, local, and federal agencies. We should be cooperating and pooling our resources. Instead, we're trying to push apart and get no cooperation whatsoever between the different agencies. And it's just, it's not good for public safety. It does not make our citizens safer.
I totally agree. And I was right. He was offering free meals. I went back and reread the article, and he was offering free, you know. We've covered on the show, we've been bouncing back and forth on that one story. You know, Gavin Newsom signed that new law in California about the no mask and basically trying to force it against the feds, saying that, well, you know, saying that the local PD and sheriff's office can go ahead and charge them for not, you know, if they wear a mask. And it's funny that the LAPD police chief, I think McDonald is his name, came out and said, we're not enforcing that. And then quickly followed by LA County Sheriff's Office, the sheriff said, we're not going to do it either. And so then they announced through Gavin Newsom's office that that's okay. We'll charge them civilly. And they're telling, they still want the general public to be filming and taking pictures of ICE agents and the feds doing their jobs. Because if they're not, if they are masked up, now they're going to hit them civilly. And it's the civil fine start at $10,000 in offense, if you can believe that. And now we have a federal judge that just said, hey, you know what? That's illegal. You can't do that. You can't target ICE agents. And so now it's, now it's off the table again, unless I guess maybe unless they rework the law to target everybody instead of just the feds. But yeah, that's the mentality over there in California right now, unfortunately.
Well, we have the same thing being passed in the legislature in Washington state. It's a masking thing. And, you know, it's, I'm going to get on my soapbox here for a minute. Washington state legislature is trying to pass requirements to be able to run for sheriff. And these requirements will be overseen by a unelected commission run by the governor. And, you know, you're trying to put requirements on law enforcement, but yet I guarantee you that half the legislature couldn't pass a basic civics class. We've never heard of the supremacy clause. Local jurisdictions do not have the right to try and implement anything on the federal government. That's a basic tenet of our, you know, of our Constitution. So it just amazes me that we're going to waste my taxpayer dollars on litigation for laws that are passed by legislatures that don't understand basic civics.
I guess they'll learn the hard way at our expense. That is sad. But thanks for keep us up to speed on that. On that movement, we'll just call it that. Wow. We're done with our main stories. We have an update story that I'd like to cover real quick. A Massachusetts state police recruit death leads to indictments of the academy staff. This is at lawofficer.com. Of course, I was we both were trainers, Sheriff, and we have a training mentality and a training history, which I think is extremely important. So when I hear things like this, I get very inquisitive and concerned. So we're in Boston, Massachusetts on this one. The death of a Massachusetts state police recruit, Enrique Delgado Garcia, it's led to indictments against a supervisor and three instructors assigned to the State Police Academy's Defensive Tactics Unit. And I was a DT instructor. So investigators say that the 25-year-old recruit, he died after suffering serious head injuries during a boxing-based training that they allege was unsafe and not properly stopped. Delgado Garcia died at a hospital on September the 13th, 2024, which is about, almost a year and a half ago, one day after he became unresponsive during a defensive tactics exercise, and they were in a boxing ring, he suffered what officials described as a medical crisis, according to the Associated Press. Now, four people have been indicted in reference to this. So we have the supervisor, I'm assuming it's Sergeant Jennifer Penton. And then we have troopers Edwin Rodriguez, David Montanez, and Casey Lamonte. The investigator appointed by the Massachusetts Attorney General gave this information out to multiple outlets. An investigator said the defendants are charged with involuntary manslaughter and causing serious bodily injury to a person participating in a training program involving physical exercise. Penton also faces a perjury charge tied to her grand jury testimony, which would not be cool. The men and women indicted are not expected to be arrested, but their arraignments are scheduled at a later date. Wow. So I'm surprised, Sheriff.
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm surprised. Anytime that you have any kind of training incident, let alone a death, there should be a thorough and rigorous review of your policies and procedures to see what was going on. Based on the limited knowledge that you just, limited information that you just put out, my guess is that, as we both know, it's not the actual incident that causes people to get either charged or indicted. It's the cover-up afterwards. And there should be a thorough and transparent review, because we don't want this to happen again. And was it something that we were doing in the training that we shouldn't have been doing, or, you know, was there a medical condition that wasn't caught? So we should let that play out. And if there were problems, people should be held accountable.
Yeah. You know, you're right. Things can happen. I mean, look, I've had recruits doing the fitness training. I've had them drop out, have seizures, didn't know they were, you know, an epileptic seizure. And sometimes that can be brought on by rigorous exercise and stuff. And I mean, you know, we've seen it all, right? And you've got some guys that have maybe a heart issue, and you don't know it until they're really pushed. But this sounds like it was something a lot more of that. And then the potential cover up or lying during an investigation that will, you know, you've got to, you know, your job, you've got to really screw up really bad to lose your job in law enforcement. And you can do a lot of things, but lying is not one of them. So so I can't wait to hear the details of this and what happened. And you know what? I believe in the system. If we have bad cops, bad trainers, bad supervisors, even in an academy setting, and they get yanked and replaced, then that's why I believe in the system. I love identifying people that are bad. There's not many of them, but the rare instances when that happens, the system, I believe, works, and get them out of it. You know, so well, I think that we would all agree.
This kind of circles back also to the movement to lessen physical fitness requirements. This job is rigorous, not only from an emotional standpoint, but from a physical standpoint. And, you know, lessening the standards to get into the academy or be at the academy is detrimental to everybody. And you shouldn't put people in that situation if they're not physically fit. You know, I can't imagine dropping a guy into Army Ranger school that can't do 20 push-ups and 30 sit-ups, but you're going to drop him into some of the most rigorous training out there.
Yeah, it surprises me that some of these recruits show up. I've been there. I've had the classes, and the first, you know, they don't work out. And the first time they've ever been in a fight is in a circle red man drill in DT. And it needs to be a lifestyle change. It needs to be part of their lifestyle, not just to do it when they get in the academy. 10 seconds. We're going to our next commercial break. Guys, stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable and ammunition knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Afianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, that is GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreiner from all the way from Walla Walla County in Washington State. Did we wrap up the last topic, Sheriff? Is it time to move on to something else? I know that you had asked me when on the break, you had asked me, we're talking about like driving habits from police and stuff. I'll tell you what I still do though. When I'm driving to my destination and I get close, what do? My seatbelt comes off, and I typically like to roll with the window down at least partially. A lot of times if I'm going like slower speeds, not interstate speeds, but cause I like to be able to hear, you know, what's going on, but some of those habits, but yeah, seatbelt, when I'm getting close to my house, dude, my seatbelt's off just in case, you know, you got to bail, you know, you don't want to have that seatbelt on. And I remember we never used to wear seatbelts working until we had to. Remember those cars they had? You couldn't, if you sat in the car and you closed the door, the seatbelt was automatically attached and going, it would like rotate. We hated those things. We would, you know, drive around in cool cars and all, it was just horrible. Then we finally had to, then they had SOPs and manual regulations saying you had to wear the seatbelts and stuff. And that was just, it was brutal getting past that, you know, but it was a lot better than having to deal with the body cam. So
I can't remember what make a car it was also, but when you locked the car door, the handle wouldn't pop the lock. You had to manually unlock it. And that used to drive me crazy. And it would auto lock. Like when you close the door and you put it in park, then all the car locks would go on and you couldn't,
from the inside, open the door.
Yeah, unless you hit the button to unlock. I was like, that's way too dangerous. I can't be in this car. Give me a new one.
Yeah, reminds me of a female officer in Tampa that pulled over. I think it was on the, in my memory, it was the side of the interstate in the emergency lane. And she got in the back seat with another female, I believe, and the door closed and they couldn't get out. They had to call for a unit to open up the door and let them out, you know, on radio. And she didn't stay with us long after that. Yeah. That was, little extracurricular activity there. Okay. So are you ready to cover the first, here we go. First video story, rumble.com. This is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. Phoenix police officers, they fatally shoot an unarmed man later determined to be the wrong suspect.
Hey, show your fucking hands.
Guys, it can happen. We're in Phoenix, Arizona, and probably near where that restaurant, that guy, you know, that restaurant is from that, what was it, the Salvadorian guy that's giving away free food to ICE agents. So the Phoenix Police Department said in an update on Friday that a member of their team fatally shot the wrong person during a police shooting on January the 26th. Now, court records have identified Edgar Garcia, 33 years old, as the suspect who allegedly fired several gunshots, and he caused a violent commotion at a home that resulted in Phoenix police coming out and shooting another guy, a 36-year-old named Christian Diaz-Rendon. A court filing written by police confirms that a Phoenix police officer fatally shot Rendon while he was on top of the real bad guy, Garcia. It states that those two guys and another adult were engaged in a violent struggle. But there are issues with this, guys. It's not just, in my opinion, Sheriff might feel differently, but I don't think it's just a blatant, you know, huge mistake by law enforcement. And here's a quote from the family attorney. Now, remember, this is the attorney representing the family. I don't understand the decision to shoot. He did not offer warnings from what I can see and hear. He must have watched the wrong video then, because I did. There were no commands made to Christian to put his arms up. He was just shot and killed. And that's what the attorney's saying, not what you're going to see in here on the video. In the body cam video footage, the officer whose camera is recording can be seen talking with neighbors trying to find out where this person and that was shooting. And the officer, when he gets to the house where the shooting took place, he can be heard yelling, "What? Hey, show me your expletive hands." So he did give a command. The officer then walks into the home and someone in the background can be heard screaming. And of course, after he said, "Show me your hands," the cop ended up shooting. So then the people are yelling, "Hey, it's not him." And another individual becomes, you know, starts screaming. And footage from the other officer's body cam shows the moment the first officer shot into the residence. And now there's security footage as well, just outside the front door of the home. And it shows a person on top of another person. Well, here's what happened. It gets too confusing. You got a bad guy that it's kind of hard to see, but apparently he's got a gun. And you got another guy, a big dude, that pretty much goes and tackles him, and he it says that he disarmed the bad guy. But this guy that disarms the bad guy that had fired a shot in the house, he starts meleeing on this guy, just like punching him. And I mean, this goes on forever. And there's people walking back and forth there's no interaction. They're not jumping in and grabbing the gun, moving it away, or stopping this guy from beating the other dude. So when the cop shoves up and he gives a verbal command and the guy doesn't comply, he shoots the guy on top, beating the other dude. And the dude that he was beating apparently wasn't armed anymore, but the dude's just, you know, relentlessly pounded him while people were just nonchalantly walking by and doing nothing. So at least that's what I saw. Sheriff, we got 4 minutes, but I was curious what your take is on that.
Yeah, extremely chaotic situation. And once again, we'll throw a little caution in there. Body cams give you a perspective, but they don't give you the whole perspective of what's going on. You know, very difficult, no different than, you know, I remember a scenario in the academy that you get a shots fired call at a convenience store and you walk in and there's a guy on the floor and a guy standing there with a gun and you shoot the guy with the gun and it's the convenience store owner that just shot an armed robber. And yeah. So You know, these situations happen. You can't really see it from the one perspective. You can't really see what the officer saw when he made the decision to shoot. You know, I can sit and second guess him, but that's all I'm doing is I'm second guessing him because I didn't see what he was seeing. So whether that gun was up in the air, where that gun was, he made the decision to shoot, and he's going to have to justify why he decided to shoot. So very unfortunate. But as you and I both know, when you show up to these scenes, extremely chaotic, and with the number of people there, didn't look like your run of the mill, you know, suburban neighborhood.
Oh. I agree. Hey, real quick, we'll see if we can fit this other one in here. Rumble.com, this is Butter again. Tashawn Rogers fired a shot at plainclothes officers before being fatally shot by other officers. Jersey City, New Jersey, and we got the street crimes unit involved here. Look, there's plainclothes guys working in unmarked vehicles, and so you've got your first group, bad guys. Tashawn Rogers, 27 years old. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, October the 21st, and as our bad guys walking northbound, two officers in an unmarked car pull up to the side of the road, and they're ahead of him. Our bad guy discharges a firearm at them, and then he starts running away in the opposite direction. So now you got another officer, plainclothes, in another cool car, and man, he rolls up. You can hear the shot fired. He knows this bad guy's running, knows that he's armed, and this officer bails out shooting. It's dark out. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, but this guy unloads on the bad guy that had just shot at his compadres, not knowing if any of them got hit or anything. So police officer Lance Jackson exits the passenger side of the car, starts discharging his weapon as the bad guy who's armed and holding a gun is running by him. You see him discharging the weapon, and then he kind of loses it a little bit. The officer, he's just really shocked that he had to use, you know, deadly force and stuff. They asked him if he was good or whether he'd been hit. He said he was fine, and they did provide medical aid to the bad guy, but he ended up dying, and a firearm was recovered at the scene. Sheriff Kreider.
I think if nothing else, people should take away from this video that no police officer wants to shoot anybody, whether they're being shot at or not. They don't like it. And I think that's the reaction that you saw from the officer after he discharged his weapon. Not the outcome he wanted. He would have much rather have taken that guy into custody and put him in jail than have to shoot him. So I didn't see anything wrong with the shooting. I'm sure it'll come back justified, but they'll do a shooting review on it, and he'll either be charged or he'll be exonerated.
You know, there's a human component to this, and people sometimes forget that police officers, cops we're human, and there's feelings involved. And I applaud him from doing the right thing, and I can appreciate him just being so frustrated and angry that he had to. You know, I mean, he didn't ask to be put in that situation, but he was, and he acted from everything we can tell appropriately, and he was just frustrated that he had to do it because there's that human component. And I'm glad that we've got a cop that obviously did not want to have to shoot and kill somebody, and it just bothered him, and that's it. But he still was able to perform his job. That's the kind of guy you want doing that job. You know, there are no wisecracks afterwards, no jokes. He was obviously troubled by what he had to do, but he did it.
Yep. And good shooting. I mean, you got a moving target at getting out of a moving car. So good training and good marksmanship.
Good point. Well, Sheriff Cryer, thank you so much for being on the show. Jam up job. You know, we went there. Two other people couldn't hang with you. They had to go, and you did great. I also want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 helping cops out. You know, Randy called me, and he's out, you know, covering this stuff with the investigation. So he's doing a jam up job. I mean, he's on Fox all day. I want to mention our sponsors, guys. Please support them. Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, GunLearn.com, Medicare.life, SafeGuardRecruiting, and TubeBells.com. We'll see you guys back tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern.